Hi everyone, welcome or welcome back to Raw Recovery. If you're new here, this is a podcast where I talk about anorexia recovery and I give my own experience and practical tips and advice for you guys if you're also struggling. Obviously, disclaimer, I'm not a medical professional, so please don't take any of this as medical advice. I'm just here to share my experience and hopefully give you guys some tips and stuff which might be helpful. But yeah, thanks to everyone who has rated and reviewed and all that kind of stuff on the podcast so far. It's really, really helpful. If you haven't, please do that because it really helps the algorithms and everything push this podcast out to more people, which is obviously good because then more people can hopefully find some stuff helpful. So yeah, go ahead, do all that good stuff, and let's get into today's episode. So today's episode is part three of my little series on identity. Identity is obviously a massive part of your life, and it's also a big part of recovery and recovering from an eating disorder. When you have anorexia or any eating disorder, it really does cement itself in your life, in your personality, in your identity, and it really impacts your values and your belief systems and therefore impacts your actions, which is kind of the issue at hand, right? So my first part of this series was about how to weaken that anorexic identity, substitute in whatever eating disorder you have, because I think it does apply to most mental health issues, but it's about weakening that. And then my second part of the series, my last episode, was about how to step into and access this recovery identity and this version of yourself that is in recovery, and then how to almost embrace recovery, how to align yourself with that, which basically makes this process, especially the early part of recovery, a lot easier and a lot more, it will reduce those feelings of guilt and shame and stuff, because you're kind of working with yourself rather than working against yourself. If you are still entrenched within this identity of I am an anorexic, then you're going to find it very difficult to, I don't know, eat in front of people or eat your fear foods or gain weight, because you're going to be constantly feeling like a failure and like you're doing the wrong thing. Whereas if you access this recovery identity, then you're going to be working in the right direction. You're going to be working with yourself. So you're going to have you know, less feelings of guilt and shame. You're going to find life a bit easier. Now, obviously, this comes with the caveat of, as I've mentioned in the first episode, I recommend you go and listen to that now because, well, I explain why this happens. But anyway, today's episode is basically about what do you do after you've almost progressed a lot in recovery. Maybe you are almost coming out of recovery. Maybe you are kind of in a state of quasi-recovery or kind of a bit stagnant and you want to push things forward even further. So you're someone who does not identify necessarily as an anorexic, or you're not actively engaging with those anorexic behaviours and you don't hold the same values as such, but maybe you're also someone who is finding that you're not really progressing, that you're not really overcoming some of these limiting beliefs, that you still have those fears, or maybe you're someone who just is finding life difficult. Maybe you're someone who has other mental health issues and that means that you're not able to socialize, you're not able to do these things that you really want to do. And I think this is why having a recovery identity is obviously really great and really helpful, as I've mentioned in the previous episode, but, and I did talk about this as well, so please go listen to both the previous episodes, but you don't want to stay trapped within this bubble of recovery and eating disorders long term. It's great short term, honestly, and there is no rush. I'm not putting pressure on you to just turn into this whole new person, but I think having some steps in place and working towards a life where you don't identify with any part of your illness is so helpful, and it's great and it's positive. And if you want to know how to do this, I'm going to talk about some steps that I am taking, because I'm still within this process. I'm not, you know, fully recovered. I'm not in this stage of life yet, but these are the things I'm personally doing, and these are things that have helped the people who have fully recovered, because I've spoken to some of you guys in preparation for this episode. I've spoken to some people who fully recovered. I've done some research. So I hope this collection of ideas from things that have helped me and things that have helped people who have fully recovered, I hope that you can take something from this. And yeah, I hope you enjoy the episode. So let's get into it. So my first piece of advice when it comes to connecting with your true sense of identity, what can really help is to reconnect with your old passions and your old hobbies. Now, it might be difficult for those of you who have had an eating disorder for a very long time, but And in this case, it might be useful even to ask your loved ones, you know, what did I used to like? What was I passionate about? What were my hobbies? But yeah, reconnect with those things. Think back to a time before your eating disorder. Think back to the things that you used to enjoy. What books did you read? What music did you listen to? What things did you do after school or on the weekends? What things did you enjoy doing with your friends? And you know, have a go at some of these again. It doesn't matter if it's like childish, it doesn't matter about any of that kind of stuff. And obviously there is a caveat. It's very normal to, you know, move away from things that interested you when you were a child, but there are certain things that will always be a part of you and that you might want to reconnect with. And I think that that can really help draw you away from the entire situation and experience of the eating disorder. So my second tip is kind of silly, but it's basically to do things on a whim, as in like go with your gut instinct more, go with the first thing that comes to mind. And this is actually very, very helpful when it comes to recovering from, or, you know, trying to rewire your beliefs and your actions around perfectionism and OCD. It's basically to stop the overthinking process. And when it comes to rebuilding or accessing this sense of identity that has nothing to do with your eating disorder, what can happen is you want to do something, you have an idea of an activity you want to do, you want to make a choice or a decision, and then you have that initial kind of instinct or desire to do something, and then what comes in immediately is your eating disorder voice or your overthinking, your perfectionism, and it kind of clouds it and you end up spiraling and you end up, you know, acting out of anxiety or what you think is right or what your eating disorder is telling you to do. And I think sometimes you have to revert back to that true instinctual response, the initial first thought you have. If someone says, oh, what do you want to do later, and you want to go ice skating or something, but then your eating disorder comes in and it's like, no, we need to do this, that and the other, blah blah blah, it's sometimes very hard to recognize your first initial desire. But I think if you can start doing that and start doing those things that maybe even sound a bit silly, it's almost like honoring your inner child and doing those fun things that you might have wanted to do. If you're someone who's had an eating disorder for a very long time, you might have missed out on certain typical experiences growing up. You might have missed out on like parties and, you know, going out with your friends and stuff like that. And I know that it's often difficult to, you know, experience those things when you're older or when you have other priorities and other responsibilities, but try and make some fun for doing things that sound ridiculous or silly or whatever it may be that you are kind of overthinking yourself out of doing. Try and do them, try and reconnect with that sense of almost like innocent and instinctual desire. I don't really know how else to word it other than that, but it's basically about taking advantage of life and the freedom that you can have. Okay, so my next tip is, it's kind of building on from what I mentioned in my first part of this series about how to weaken that anorexic or whatever eating disorder you suffer with, that part of your identity. Basically, this is kind of building on to that. It's basically to do with your content consumption, your media consumption, the things that you're viewing and you're interacting with on a daily basis, especially on social media, because I'm imagining it's quite a big part of people's lives. If you are someone who has successfully migrated away from that anorexic identity, which I definitely know that when I did that, I then moved on to this recovery identity, which was obviously part two of the series. But what happened then is that the social media that I was interacting with was all very recovery focused, which obviously there's so many benefits to that. And I'm not saying that it was unhelpful. In fact, in more ways than not, it was very, very helpful for me. So I'm not saying you have to cut out this recovery content online. I'm just saying that if you want to move away from your eating disorder as a whole, even, you know, posts and accounts that focus and share very, very positive information about recovery, even that can hold you back a little bit because it does still keep you trapped within that bubble and within that sort of sphere of an eating disorder. So my advice to you is actually to engineer your social media feeds, your TikTok For You page if you do that, or your Instagram, whatever it may be, or YouTube, to engineer it so that you are interacting with and that you're viewing things that are completely separate and that build on completely different parts of yourself. Maybe you're someone who's really, really into knitting, I don't know. Try and follow accounts to do with that. Whatever it is, just try and cultivate some sort of environment that can enhance, yeah, other passions, other hobbies, other interests. And I think that can really just take you out of your head a bit. I know for me, when I am struggling more with various thoughts, whether it be eating disorder, OCD, I know it can really, really help me to focus on something that I'm extremely interested in. And it can be completely random. It can be, I don't know, like nuclear physics, something that you'd like. I'm not a mathematician, I'm not a physicist, I don't understand a lot of stuff, but something that is very, very interesting to you, and it can be whatever floats your boat, really. But try and build that environment, and that can help take you out of this recovery or eating disorder identity. So that's my third piece of advice. So next, I would say join a group of some form or a club of some form. Now, this is probably a lot easier if you're at school, university or something, or if you work in like an office or something. I assume there's more opportunities to have these like clubs and groups and stuff, but join something that has other people and that you can have social interactions with, but preferably new ones, people that don't really, you know, associate you with an eating disorder, people that don't have that sort of background on you, if you know what I mean. It can take away the attachment to that and the pressure to live up to this identity of either being in recovery or whatever. It can just, it's almost like a blank slate, isn't it? It's a new group of people, and if you're joining it in a club format, like a society, band, singing group, you know, religious group, acting group, book club, whatever it may be, if you join that, then you know, you have something to connect with people over, you have a new interest, you have something that can take up your focus in a really positive way, and you also have the added benefit of, okay, this is probably my biggest tip for this, and this is what's helped me a lot in many ways, is basically starting a project of some form, and this can help move you away from any kind of identity surrounding your eating disorder, because your purpose and your vision and your focus day to day is on something bigger, and it's on something better, and it's something that you can break it down into smaller goals, you can have it as an overarching goal or target or thing to work towards, basically. And that's what human beings need, having some form of meaningful project. So for example, that could be maybe you're fundraising for a charity, you can make crafts to sell online or at some sort of event, you could start a business, could write a book, even paint a picture, knit something, whatever. This project, by the way, does not have to be difficult, it doesn't have to be huge, it doesn't have to be productive, it doesn't have to make you money, it doesn't have to there's no rules, you can do whatever you want, but try and have something that gives you a sense of meaning and a sense of purpose, and yeah, whatever works for you, whatever you enjoy. Obviously try and make it enjoyable, don't start a massive project that feels like an ordeal and that will give you anxiety and make you not want to do it, but have a goal, a purpose, something to focus on, and this can help you basically just build a more fulfilling life outside of your eating disorder, which is at this point in your stage of recovery now that you are wanting to move away even from the recovery identity. Recovery as a thing is a goal, it is something that keeps you moving, gives you purpose. So if you're wanting to move away from that and you are ready to do so, it's helpful to have something in place that will give you that same sense of achievement on a daily basis. So for me, this was actually many things. I mean, again, if you're at school, university, this is kind of, you kind of got ready-made things, you have things to work towards, you have projects, you have other things, but I think, you know, you can also have different ones that are more enjoyable. Like I said, making jewelry was something that initially helped me because it was something that is kind of mechanical, it's something you just go through the motions, it's a good distraction almost. And then obviously for me, my business and this podcast even is a good project, is a good goal. It's quite a meaningful thing for me. And it's a good way that I can interact with people. Now, obviously, it's kind of ironic since this is all focused on recovery. So that's why I also have other projects going on in my life that aren't related to recovery, that aren't related or attached to my eating disorder in any way. And it's something that I will continue to be doing and, you know, be looking for those ways to branch out and have those meaningful projects. But yeah, like university, school, you know, career goals, even all those things are great. And obviously, yeah, don't put pressure on yourself, but have that as a thing that you can work towards. Another thing that you can do when you are stepping into this completely un-eating disorder related identity is to almost clear out your life in a sense. So if you're someone who is feeling very stagnant in recovery, and you notice that you've got a lot of reminders of your eating disorder around, you've got a lot of things in place in your day that you keep doing. Maybe you're someone who, in fact, you know, I know this is kind of controversial. I'm not saying, I just want to like preface this. I'm not saying that people should ditch their therapists, ditch their dietitians, don't do any of that. Always, you know, take your medical advice seriously. But if you're someone who is trapped within a sort of system of constant appointments and, you know, just your life kind of revolves around recovery, it's okay if you need to step away from those things if you are ready to do so. If you're feeling like you're doing really well and you want to, you know, eliminate those parts of your life that are keeping you in a, you know, keeping you stuck in the past in a way, it's okay to do that. Likewise, it's okay to distance yourself from friends if they are people who are not, you know, they're not positive, they're not moving you forward, they're kind of keeping you trapped within that sphere of an eating disorder, or even a sphere of recovery. If someone is not adding to your life in that kind of way, it's okay to distance yourself or have boundaries that you don't talk about certain things. So that's the way. Similarly, you can just get rid of things in your life. If you're someone who has loads of like journals around to do with your eating disorder, then just put them away. If you're someone who has pictures of yourself when you're very clearly, you know, unwell, then again, hide those pictures. I keep saying this because it's very helpful, it's very important. I think actually this episode will really speak to you if you're someone who does have an online presence to do with recovery. This is a completely different topic. It's something that is kind of, you know, a bit controversial. It's a bit of a tricky topic. There are, again, pros and cons. But if you're someone who does run like a recovery account, someone who runs a recovery account where you are intrinsically connected, like your face is everywhere, you are, your personality is the brand, you are posting your what I eat in a day is, or you're sharing very like intimate thoughts and moments, and you are having a group of people, your followers, who, you know, look up to you as a recovery role model and stuff like that. All of that is very much your identity becomes, or at least your online identity becomes very much recovery. Which again, I'm not saying it's positive, it's definitely a step in the right direction, isn't it? But if you're someone now who wants to move away from that, and you have this whole online baggage and this cult of people looking up to you and constantly recovery this, recovery that, it's okay if you want to take a step back from those accounts, if you want to stop posting. In fact, I recommend that you do that, and that probably will help propel you forward a bit faster. But yeah, basically, it's okay. What I'm saying is, this is your permission to sort of cut ties with things that keep you trapped in the past. And that can help. So my next tip is basically to, again, it's similar to what I mentioned in the previous episode about having a daily routine of challenging yourself in some sort of way or doing something enjoyable every day. This one is similar. It's basically to make plans frequently. And I say it kind of vaguely because I think it needs to be tailored to you specifically. Because everyone listening is going to have different levels that they are comfortable with when it comes to socializing, and you know, everyone's comfort zone is going to be a different size, so it's okay if you need to like adjust this to fit your needs and where you are right now. It's basically just about having things to look forward to and having things to keep you busy in a way. Now the really important thing to stress here is it doesn't have to be exhausting. Struggling with an eating disorder often means that you are quite hard on yourself, and obviously recovery does involve, you know, working your self-esteem and being kind to yourself, and hopefully you are, you know, making some progress with that. But, you know, it's kind of common for people to just have that personality trait of being quite hard on themselves, pushing quite hard, being quite perfectionistic. So when I say make plans, you know, keep busy, you know, do things that are fun and, you know, all that kind of stuff, it can be like quite overwhelming, and your brain might be like, oh my god, I'm not doing enough, I need to be going out every night and, you know, going on all these amazing trips and holidays and stuff like that. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying, you know, push yourself and go outside of your comfort zone and do things that you enjoy, and the important part of this is have them planned in the future, so you always have something on the horizon to look forward to, and it can just maintain that sense of motivation and that sense of enjoyment, honestly, in life. And again, take it slow. If you're someone who, you know, you're still very much in recovery and you're only listening to this because you want to sort of start moving in the direction of, you know, stepping into an identity that is just you without any baggage, then this might just be literally just have simple things in your diary that you can look forward to, like going out for a coffee or going to the park or, you know, going shopping or something. Or if you're someone who really wants to ramp up the energy here and you want to like push and get out of this space of an eating disorder, you could do things like make plans with friends, like go on trips and, you know, basically whatever works for you. Have plans in the diary that you look forward to. Take it at your own pace, but it's just about doing things and having things prepared that take you outside of this eating disorder brain. And yeah, I think it's just about life, isn't it? Just getting back into life and having things that make you want to keep on living, I guess. Now, I want to finish this episode off by sort of having the sort of counter voice, because I don't know, I've probably mentioned this before, but I am someone who does struggle with socializing in the sense that I find it very, I don't know whether it's an introvert thing or whether it's the autism thing, but I'm sure that people can relate, so I just find it very, I get energy and I get fulfillment from being alone most of the time, and usually, although I do like some interactions with people and I do like, you know, certain people and I do find going out fun, I think it's definitely a balance of how much fun am I going to get from this versus how much is this going to leave me very overwhelmed and fragile emotionally afterwards. Now, obviously, I think that this is just a symptom of what I'm going through with my own mental health struggles, and I think over time this will probably just get better and I'll find all of this a lot less stressful and a lot easier, and I'll find that I do want to be socializing more. But if you're someone like me who really does struggle with that, or if you're someone who struggles with maybe social anxiety or something, then I think that all of this sort of talk around getting outside of your comfort zone, branching out, going out, like doing all these things, engaging in life, live life to the fullest sort of talk, I think it can be quite overwhelming and quite like, it just seems so far out of reach that it's like, right, well, I'm not even going to bother because all of that just seems so stressful. So I think it really is just breaking it down and you're allowed to take it slow. And ultimately, you need to come back to the place of it's literally fine if I can't. Because most of the time when it comes to like, say you've got plans to go out and meet someone and you're putting all this pressure on yourself, it has to be perfect, I have to do it for this amount of time, I have to blah, 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 blah. You need to have that at the back of your mind, like it's fine. Like just, I don't need to put so much pressure on myself and it's okay. Time will heal in the sense. And I think if you are someone who really has been struggling for years and years with an eating disorder or any kind of mental health issue, it's okay if you need a long time to heal. And it's okay that if you don't just, you can't just snap your fingers and jump into this like perfect, sociable, happy-go-lucky person who can just be spontaneous and do whatever they want. Now, I'm not saying you can't, like you literally can, it's within your power to do all that. I'm just saying give yourself the patience and the grace and just be nice to yourself. If living a normal life comes along in small steps, that's okay. Ultimately, you're doing fine and everything will work out. It's just, yeah, I mean, have the goal of doing all these things that you want to do, but don't put too much pressure on yourself. I know it's a balancing act of how you do this, but I just want to remind everyone that it's okay to go at your own pace, and you're not a failure, you're not, you know, doing anything wrong if you're not able to immediately jump into this perfect, idealized, happy life. And recovery doesn't make your life perfect at all. Even being fully recovered, it doesn't make your life perfect, but it does make it better, obviously. So that it goes without saying, really. But I hope this episode and this whole series about identity has helped you. Again, thank you so much to the person and actually the other people anyone who's requested this kind of topic before, but thanks especially to the person who emailed about this. I hope this has helped anyone listening, and let me know how you guys feel about this whole like three-parter thing, because I asked on my Instagram story and a lot of people seem to want shorter episodes, so I think sometimes, yeah, I might be splitting things up a bit more like this. But yeah, obviously, if you've enjoyed it, share it, rate it, review it, all of that. If you want to interact more with the podcast and get your questions answered, and you know, I put polls up and I ask about various topics for future episodes and I want to get your guys' input, then if you want to get involved with all of that, then go and follow the podcast Instagram and the main Instagram if you want as well. But they'll both be linked down below in the show notes, and so will my website, my email, all that kind of stuff. If you want to contact me in any way, can request episodes for the future, you can ask questions, whatever it may be. I do try and reply to everyone, but yeah, Also, quick note, I do have an Etsy shop where I sell worksheets, workbooks, and just recovery resources in general. So I've got relapse prevention workbook, body image worksheets, and just a general pack of, like, I think it's 25 eating disorder related worksheets. And check them out down below if you want. But yeah, if not, I am wishing you guys the best. Until next time, I hope you have a great week, and thank you for listening.